Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induo Rampol Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bible Issues. My name is Dr. Denver Chedi. Today I want to talk about the right attitude we must have before God, or the right attitude when we pray. And I want to look at three individuals in the Bible, three particular prayers, and let's see what God has to say to us based on these scriptures. So the first one is Nehemiah chapter 1, reading verse 6. Nehemiah praying to God when he heard bad news about the broken down wall in Jerusalem. I confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted corruptly against you and have not kept your commandments. I'll also read a few verses from Daniel chapter 9, verse 4. Again, Daniel also in captivity praying to God. And he said, I prayed to God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned, we, and committed iniquity, we have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets. Both of them are praying, Lord, we have sinned. I'm confessing the sins of our nation, including my own, including my family. Now, if you read Nehemiah and Daniel, there was nothing that they did personally that resulted in their situation. Daniel was a boy, a teenager, when Israel was taken into captivity in Babylon. It was because of the sins of the generations before him. He just happened to be alive when the invasion actually took place. Same thing with Nehemiah. They were good, God-fearing people, and it wasn't their individual sins that resulted in their adverse circumstance. Yet, when they were praying before God, they humbly confessed everybody's sins, including their own. Now, one more scripture from the book of Job, chapter 9. Job, of course, we know, was also in a bad situation, and he said, though I were righteous, my own mouth would condemn me. Though I were blameless, it would prove me perverse. I am blameless, yet I do not know myself. I despise my life. So immediately, we see a significant difference in the way Job prayed from the way Daniel and Nehemiah prayed. The first two confessed their sins, including their own personal sins, which probably were not even many. Job, on the other hand, I am blameless. I don't know why this is happening to me. It has to be because God doesn't like me. It has to be because God turned against me for whatever reason. It's nothing that I did. He went on to say, even though God slays me, yet will I trust him. Now, we often quote that scripture and we think it speaks of his dedication. But if you look at the context in which he said that, his attitude was one of, the fault here is definitely not me. I'm keeping up my end of the bargain. God is the one who chooses to slay me, yet I am still keeping up my end of the bargain. So you see, that was his attitude before God. Now, was Job wrong? No. Academically, Job was right. The Bible did declare that Job was upright. He was blameless. And in all of these things, he did not sin against God with his mouth. Right? So Job was not wrong. He was blameless. The Bible says so. God himself said so. But what kind of attitude did that communicate? So God showed up at the end of the book and he gave Job a major tongue lashing. He rebuked him for his attitude and Job had to confess, I spoke things that I did not understand. These three men were all good men. They were all godly, God-fearing men who really didn't have a lot of sins to confess. We know that they were not sinless, but the Bible says good things about them. Yet, we see that even though Daniel and Nehemiah were good, they were very humble and contrite before God. Job was the opposite. So it is important as Christians that we examine our attitude before God. It is one thing to be academically right. It is another thing to have a humble attitude before God. And there are many areas in our Christian walk where we allow modern teachings, which although they are not wrong, they do kind of lead us away from a position of humility. For example, there are many Christians today who don't confess their sins, even though we saw Daniel and Nehemiah clearly confessing their sins. We say, well, you know, that was an Old Testament thing. Now we have to confess our righteousness. And yeah, the Bible did say that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But it is one thing for God to declare us righteous, which he did. It is another thing for us to declare ourselves righteous. One is God making an executive judgment. The other one is us kind of deviating from that position of humility and slightly bordering into the territory of pride. We have to be very careful with these things. That, yeah, we acknowledge academically we are the righteousness of God, but that is nothing for us to boast about. In fact, the Apostle Paul, if I asked you who was the greatest apostle, and I guess I spoiled it by just calling his name, right? Most of us would say the Apostle Paul. Yet, what was Paul's self-testimony? He said, I am the least of the apostles because I persecuted the church. But wait, Paul persecuting the church was his past. It was his past sins before he got saved. He did not continue persecuting the church after he got saved. Yet, he held his past sins before him, dangling like a pendulum, so that he always remembers what he got forgiven from. And that is a stark contrast to modern-day Christianity, because in modern-day Christianity, we have modern teachings that say we must forget our past. We must put our past behind us. Remember it no more. And like I said, it is one thing for God to cast your sins into a sea of forgetfulness and to remember them no more. It is another thing entirely for you to do that. Paul didn't do that. Paul had his sins ever before him, even though God forgave Paul and forgot his sins, cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. Paul kept it dangling before him every minute of every day so that he could remind himself of what he was forgiven of, so that he could always remain humble. Paul's attitude was never, I am the righteousness of God. Rather, I am the least of the apostles. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will save me from this death? Thank God, Jesus Christ. Jesus gave a parable about a Pharisee who prayed, Lord, thank God I am not like them, like that publican. And the publican prayed, he beat his chest and he said, Lord, I am not worthy. And Jesus said, which one do you think God honored? Obviously, the one who was humble, the one who was contrite and who said, I am not worthy. Lord, I don't deserve your mercy. I don't deserve your grace. Jesus said, he who was forgiven of much loves much. Your love for God could only be as strong as your consciousness of your former sins. If you totally forget your former sins, according to that scripture, you really cannot have the same love for God as somebody who has their sins ever before them. Who was forgiven of much, loves much. When we go to God and we pray, the purpose of prayer is not to show off our spirituality. The point of prayer is to go humble and broken before God. Who was a better person than Daniel? Yet when he prayed before God, God, to us belongs shame of face, to you belong righteousness. That's how Daniel prayed. That's how great men of God prayed in the Bible, being humble before God. But what about self-esteem? Well, self-esteem is good. Self-esteem has its place, but not before God. Right? You're not supposed to be living in guilt and condemnation. The Bible clearly says there is no condemnation. So do not let other people put condemnation on you. But when you go before God, there is no such thing as self-esteem. The sacrifices that God requires are a broken and a contrite heart. When Isaiah saw the Lord, all he could see was, I am a man of unclean lips. Cleanse my lips. Right? When he saw the angels around God, all their only response to the presence of God was, holy, holy, holy. Imagine what they would have been seeing and experiencing so that all they could see was holy, holy, holy. It had to have been something so awesome. There's no place for self-esteem before God. Self-esteem is for your everyday life, but not before God. When it comes to God, broken and a contrite spirit, that is what God requires. So, what are some of the ways in which we Christians today allow pride to enter into our prayers and we deviate from that position of humility? Have you ever prayed, why me, Lord? Why has this trial come on me? I did nothing wrong. What did I do, Lord? What sin did I commit? That was essentially how Job prayed. What are you communicating with that prayer? I did nothing wrong. I didn't deserve this. Whereas if you were humble, you would say, Lord, I know I deserve this trial and worse. But Lord, I pray for your mercy. Judge me not according to my sin or my righteousness, but judge me according to your mercy. So you're humbly throwing yourself at the feet of God. What about this prayer? Lord, heal me because healing is the children's bread. And now that I'm a child of God, your word promised me your healing. Academically, you're not wrong. But what is your attitude before God? Do you really deserve healing? Are you really entitled to healing before God? We're not entitled to anything. God gives us these things because of his grace. Blind Bartimaeus, when he heard that Jesus was passing by, he cried out, Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Listen to how people prayed, people who got healed. Listen to how they prayed and compare it to how we pray. If you have a sickness, there's nothing wrong with going to God and saying, God, I live in a corruptible body, O wretched man that I am, but Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Heal me by your power. That is the attitude you're supposed to have before God. I was having dinner with a family once, and their child, probably about 7 years old, ordered ice cream. And she asked the waitress, could I have an extra spoon with the ice cream? Okay, so when the waitress brought the ice cream, she forgot the extra spoon. And this child was livid. Steam was coming out of her ears. Right? And she wanted to give the waitress a tongue lashing. But I told her, listen, relax, relax. Just smile and politely tell the waitress, could I have an extra spoon with my ice cream, please? So the child smiled. And then that smile quickly turned into a frown. And she told the waitress, you forgot the extra spoon. I asked you for an extra spoon. And I just rolled my eyes and shook my head. So the moral of that story is, one, people do judge you because of your kids. And two, how do we sound before God? Do we sound like spoiled, entitled little brats? Or do we sound like humble, contrite children who are happy to be in the presence of God, who are grateful for what they were forgiven of, even though that may have been years ago? What do we sound like before God? So remember, God exalts the humble, and the sacrifices that God requires are a broken and a contrite heart. Let us examine our lives for the areas where we have deviated from that position of humility before God, and ask God to show you where you might have allowed pride to come into your heart.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chady and Induo Rampol Chady every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.